has come from him. And living in a world of negativity, sometimes we can kind of lose ourselves and start complaining about every nick and cranny thing that's going wrong, amen, where everything that you see or hear, you can find thanks in, amen. Even thanks in a crying child, saying, thank you, Lord, for their lungs working, amen. Everything give thanks, the Bible says, because everything comes from Christ that is good. And I was looking at this document that they had on, I don't know what station, but they was talking about how people lose their families and how people lose different things in life by this ungratefulness. And they was having this one person that lost their whole family because of this. They couldn't stand to be around him anymore. And until he got help, he went to a counselor or whatever. And one of the main elements that he was missing was thankfulness. Because he was complaining about his wife, he was complaining about his kids, he complained about this. Then he had a drinking problem on top of that. And he lost everything, and he fought every nick and cranny just to get everything back. And I remember having a person in counseling like that from not in this state, out in Pittsburgh. And he said, you know what, Wendell? I feel like I got my family back. And he said, but every now and again, I just feel that movement of the flesh coming up on me that want to complain about everything. And he was saying, how do I stop? You know, and one of the things I told him is to give thanks, consciously give thanks every morning. You see what I'm saying? Because what happened is, it's like a frog getting placed in water. If you place a frog in water and you slowly turn the heat up, the frog will bubble up and die. You know what I mean? But if you place him right in the media, hot water, he'll jump out. And that's how this world would treat you. You just slowly complain about little things. This little bitty fire, just keep on gnawing it, keep on, and then next thing, this little bitty fire becomes a forest fire, amen? Instead of just giving thanks for everything, giving thanks even when you don't see why you should give thanks. Giving thanks for people coming up, you know, we used to didn't have a choir up here, it just used to be just me and my mom, then me and Anthony, then now it's Kendra, now it's my Donovan and Miles and Glenn, and guess what? I give thanks for that. If you give thanks in the empty times, what happens is that void will expand into something. And if you give thanks when you don't see it, then something will emerge out of the darkness. God said, out of darkness let there be light. Not out of something, out of nothing. And when you give thanks, You don't just expand the quantity, you expand the quality of your life. And then I wake up like I'm the richest man on earth. Thank you, Jesus, for a wife that cooked for me. Thank you, Jesus, for people that I can come to a community of love. Thank you, Jesus, for a job. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the next thing you know, your heart is so filled with thanks that you say, how can I ever complain? But the life of complaining, man, it's a thief. They always try to point at what you don't got. And God said, look what you do got. Let's go to the scriptures, amen. Matthew 14:13. This is when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. I just want you to check out just the principles of Christ when it comes to Thanksgiving. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. I mean, there ain't no food around here. Send the crowds away so they can go to their village and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something. Letting you know that God wants you to take your authority. Amen. Don't tell them to go somewhere else. Guess what? The answer is inside of you. All right. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they answer, bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. God always gives instructions before he does a miracle. Come on. Yeah. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. He didn't look to the people. See, you want your miracles to say, okay, why are we going to do this? No, no. He took his eyes and he looked up to heaven. Why? Because that's the only place where miracles come from. That's the only place where healing come from. People were griping and complaining. Read all the scriptures about it. Read all the gospels. They was griping and complaining. What we gonna do? What we gonna do? You ain't gonna get nothing out of that. But as you look up, sometimes you gotta look up from the craziness, amen, and say, God, what you got to say about the matter? Then he gave the, taking the five loaves and the two fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The answer that you get from this scripture is, we only got five things. We only got five pieces of fish. I only got this little bit of resume in me. I only got this little bit of talent in me. And we despise small beginnings. We go, look at that. Ain't about nothing. You ain't got nothing. Look how small that is. They didn't do that. They said, thank you. Jesus said, thank you, and gave it up to God. When you see something that is small in your life, do you say thank you for this little bit? Or do you give it up to God and say thank you for this little bit? You know, me and Keisha and Irvin and some friends of ours, we went out to Kansas City to this church. It was booming. It was packed. I mean, they had all types of things going on. And I came up to the pastor. I said, man, I desire to have a church like this. He says, oh, yeah? When? I said, yeah. He said, well, 10 years of it was in our basement. Having small groups every day. I said, we're in your basement. What are you talking about? And I see this. I see that. He says, don't despise small beginnings. When you do that, you're not giving thanks. Because this is what God does for you. Before you have 100 clients, he going to give you that one. And then he's going to see how you deal with that one. And when you deal with that one, I didn't start off with many clients. I had one teenage client that first walked into my office. And I placed focus on him. And I said, I love you. And we're going to get through this. And you're going to make it. And he did. But then, guess what? Then I had two. Then those two told another two. And those two told another two. That's how the seed process happens. So never say, this is something small and insignificant. No, it's important. Anything that God brings into your life, any ministry that God brings into your life, is important. Even the little children that's in here. You know, God spoke to my heart this morning. We need to have a youth ministry, as in singing up here. We need to. I seen it. It was just revealed to me. We need to have sometime every now and again them singing.
It's already done.
It's already done.
Junior's the first one.
Hey, Junior's the first one, amen.
That's right.
Because guess what? One of the things I've learned about God, Jesus, Yahshua, is he cares about everybody. Everybody. Even if your status is low, he still cares about you. This is how I know that my Jesus is being preached the right way, because he don't discriminate between people or gender or whatever. He loves all of us, man. And one of the things I've recognized, you know, I tell the story about Solomon, about how Solomon, you know, had two ladies, and I heard a lot of people tell the story, and I was kind of reading the story the other day. I'm like, oh, these two ladies were prostitutes. A lot of people missed this. People just say, oh, they was arguing with the two ladies, and the two ladies fighting over the baby, and he said, okay, I'll split it, and the lady said, no, I'll let it go. And I was reading the other morning, I was like, they said, the Bible said there's no prostitutes. Solomon is the richest man in the world, and there will ever be. It's historically recorded. He's the richest man that will ever be, the most wealthiest, most land-owning man. Why do you care about prostitutes? Because God cares about everybody. You can tell a real leader of God based off of how they treat the littlest to the smallest to the biggest. They don't discriminate. They say, you're important, you're important. I don't look over somebody that have big credentials and say, forget the little kids. I've hugged the little kids and I hugged the people that got great ministries. You love the kids? He does. He don't despise little things, amen. He don't despise little churches, amen. He don't despise you. And guess what? He also asks you to be ruler over those little things. Amen. He says, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with the great responsibility. See, some people are like, oh man, I ain't gonna be perfect. No, it didn't say perfect. That's how we read it. He says, honest. The honesty is, Solomon said, I can't do this. I'm dumb as a box of rice. I can't. I need your help. He was honest with God. And guess what? It's about your weakness that he's going to be your strength. We think, oh yeah, I ain't going to be perfect enough. He never called the perfected. He always perfected the call. That means that it's the anointing that's inside of you that's going to take over that situation. You got the authority because of Christ, not because of your strength. If a traffic guard is this tall and they got a badge on, it don't matter how tall, it don't matter how weak they are, they hold the authority behind the badge. So you respect the badge. And that's the same thing with God. If God says, guess what? I've given you authority to set the captives free. Guess what? He's giving you that authority. No matter how weak you are, no matter if you were a prostitute or wasn't a prostitute, what you did in the past, now you have the authority because of what Jesus has done. Amen?
Amen.
This is how you eliminate jealousy. This is how you eliminate envy, strife. Because I can get anything that God says I can have that is mine. I remember I was in class, and all my life from kindergarten, I was in resource class. And I was so jealous of people that could catch things faster than I could. I mean, it had me, I want to say right, it had me mad, okay? And I was like, God, this ain't fair. I can't stand them. And God told me, he says, don't hate, participate. I said, what? He says, I just caused you to learn a little differently. But find out how differently that you learn and don't hate on them.
Yeah.
Hating is about you not believing that you have every blessing given from God. So you hate on this person, even from the beginning, from Cain and Abel. I'm mad because, guess what? Cain had the same blessing as Abel. There was no need to hate.
Yeah.
Oh, I found out that I was doing it the wrong way. Then do it the right way. You don't gotta end your life and say, oh man, I just don't like you. No. Okay, you know what? It's something that's a blessing that I see of you. You know what? I can yield to that same spirit and receive that same thing.
That's it.
Hating is over with. And I said, Lord, okay, I'm not catching on this Algebra 2 class. Can you help me out? Because they just flying past me, and they took me out of resource class into the regular class, and I felt like I could do it. But I was like, maybe I'm just lying to myself. And the Holy Spirit said, let me take over. He says, go to the resource class. Go to this. Go to this tutor and stay in there for a while. I remember going to the tutor, her name was Floyd Irons, Mr. Coach Irons' wife, and she helped me with some things. She really stayed in there with me, and then I was the number one student in that class. Wow. Till the teacher brought me on top. He said, y'all, guess what? He came from resources, which she shouldn't have gave my information like that. But you know what? This is God here, because y'all are all smarter than him, and he up here going high to all y'all. And I was like, wow. Straight from God's mouth, amen. That means that there's no room for jealousy in the believer.
Yeah. That's good.
Ephesians 1 says this, 3. Praise be to God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Has tense, has blessed us in heavenly realms with what? Every spiritual blessing. What's a spiritual blessing? Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing you got. Amen. Even if you don't see it in a natural, that's why I don't get jealous of people. Ain't no jealousy in my heart. Why? It's everything you got, I got. This is what's going on in the country right now. If you want to know what can heal it, it's Jesus. The person that don't discriminate for nobody. And say, guess what? You blessed too. But guess what happens? When we don't see it in the natural realm, you go, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. That's why the older son, the prodigal son, got so mad. I can't believe you. What did the father say? He didn't say, you doing this, you wrong. He says, everything I have is yours. He placed him back into kingship. He didn't place him back into lordship. He says, guess what? You blessed, he blessed. I got the same spirit for him that I got for you. So stop hating and start loving. Love is in the air right now, baby. He's loving you right now. The only thing we have to do is just receive that love and stop being a victim. Everybody say, deuce is the victim.
Deuce is the victim.
Because you're not a victim in Christ. You are not a victim in Christ Jesus. Everything in your life has been flipped into victor. So why do we stay there? Because pride keeps us there. Somebody say, I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed.
Of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. You know what that means, man? To those that believe. You know what that means? You know why they was why Paul had to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, I got a friend from the Marines that came from the Marines. And he said, you know, I never had to come to him and say, are you ashamed of being a Marine? No. Because he earned that right. He carried that sword around the neighborhood. He was like, I'm a Marine. Because that's what we do. You know, if somebody, they earn their BA or they master's or they doctor, they can't stop telling you that they're a doctor. I'm a doctor. Better respect. But why did Paul say, I am not ashamed of the gospel? Because the first time in history people start hearing about this, it's not about what you did, it's about what he did. That makes us ashamed. Like Miles said, sometimes we don't want to be that Spider-Man, Batman, Superman. When do I'm going to save the day? Nope. I work for the one who already saved it. And see, that can be a shameful thing. Because he says he's the husband and we're the bride. And so I get everything in his name.
Come on.
And every religiosity looks on this and say, that means that you ain't got to do nothing. Only thing y'all got to do is just believe. I said, yes. And it's mine. If I really believe it with my heart, it affects my soul. It affects my immune system. It affects my life. It affects how I move, how I breathe, how I walk, how I talk. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that say that when I walk into a room full of doctors working on somebody and say, by his stripes, you are healed. No matter what the doctors say, it's not about how I was living yesterday. It's not how I was living 2 years ago. It's about what Jesus is doing right here, right now.
Yeah.
Fear is about you. Uh-oh. Power is about yielding to Christ and his character. And when you yield to Christ and his character, it does change your character. But fear is all about us. Knowing us more than we know Christ, your dada. When I broke down on St. Charles Rock Road, St. Charles going home, and I called my father, I said, I need you to come pick me up because my car broke down. I'm on the highway over this bridge, and these cars zooming past me. When I hung up the phone, it took him a long time to get there. But I never doubted that he would get there because I know his character. Not because I know my character. And because I know him, I was resting knowing that I know he's taking a long time, but I know he's coming. Because I know my dad. And you can say the same thing about Jesus. I know some things may be taking a long time. God, Jesus, come up here and help me. But you know what? I can go to sleep knowing that he's coming. Actually, I already know that he came through the cross 2,000 years ago. He died for me. He loved me. I ain't got to get this many things to say I know God loved me. He knows it. You know it by your spirit that yields to him. It's an unspoken language once you say, yes, I surrender. Everything you know is going to be all right. That's why I was singing this song last week. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. He reveals that to you when you yield to him. I told you when my mom was talking to me the other week and I was having trouble at my job and she just said, surrender, let it go. She said what? Rest. She put her hand on my hand and said, rest. And automatically in my spirit, I knew everything was going to be all right. How you know? Because the Spirit told me. That means that some things you got to yield to God's Spirit before you see it in the natural. If you're waiting to see it in the natural, you are a victim and you will be in prison for the rest of your life. Amen. But in that prison, you can agree with the Spirit of God and say, thank you for this little bit I got right here, God. I don't care what happens. I don't care what happens tomorrow. I'm thanking you for just the opportunity to give you praise right here, right now. And it works. But I'm not doing it because I'm working a system. I'm doing it because he's the lover of my soul. Remember at Freeway Foundation, Keisha, remember when they ran out of finances and it dried up. I came in the next day and I said, well, how about I just sweep the floor? Y'all ain't got to pay me. I'll take the trash out. And I did it not to them. I was honoring God. I said, thank you, Lord. You know, when Keith told me he was crying, I said, what the man, we got to live. I said, I ain't never had nobody find me and cry at the same time. I know y'all love me, man. He's like, this is messed up. And he had to step off and do other things. They had to bring a new president in. I just said, well, I'll just stay here and just clean up or do whatever y'all need me to do. Humble my heart. Like God told me to. About 3 months later, this guy writes a grant, getting the 6 figures in, where I was able to hire Keisha and a lot of my friends. But I was thinking about, like, man, as I was sweeping the floor, just doing a little bit, and God was speaking to me saying, everything will be all right, I got you. I said, there was no evidence. 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 Do you believe in evidence? There was no evidence. Except for the evidence of your spirit, amen. You need to start to listen to the evidence in your spirit. You know what the evidence of your spirit is saying right now? You're going to make it. I shall live and I shall not die. That God loves you. That no weapon formed against you should prosper. This is the radio signals that's going around in the room right now. Can you see the radio signals? No. Can you see the Spirit of God? No. But you can feel the effects of it, can't you? Come on now, y'all better stop playing. Romans 1:20 says this. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities. His eternal power and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yeah. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him. Yeah. You can say, I know he exists, but it's saying, thank you that you exist. It's when you acknowledge and you come and say, kingship with him. Because now I just acknowledged something happened. Now there's a reaction happening. You know how I know when people really get something that I did a favor for, or did something? And something comes out of their mouth. This strange thing called thank you. I know they get it. But when they sit there like stone face, I know you don't get it. But that's cool. Because guess what? I was that too.
Come on, man.
Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. Oh, man. This, I can preach four messages just from that sentence. Opinions. Well, I had good motives. Well, guess what? There's really many good motives that just get led right off the road. I say, forgive this brother. Let it go. No, I ain't going to forgive this brother. I'm going to cause strife and you get fired. Why, God? Why? I said, why you didn't listen to me? I love you. I don't want you to fight your battles. I got your back. But yielding to God, you see so much love. You see, if you really want to see a redeeming, let God. This tag God in, like, you know how they tag Hulk Hogan in. Hulk Hogan, he goes in and he just destroys everything. And he goes Hulkamania. Tag Jesus in. You weak. You got beat up. You're on the ropes. Take your weak legs. And say, Jesus, I need you to go in for me. I can't do this. And Jesus will go up and he will turn everything down. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utterly utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people. And bird now was a reptile.
Oh my goodness. That is
2017. It's like, is the Bible so relevant that he knows what's happening now? Listen, man, when you know God is good, that's when true worship happens. When you know that God protected you this morning from having an accident, that's when true worship happens. When you know that the next breath that you're sucking on is coming from God. That's when it happens, when you acknowledge him in all your ways. For Marie, beautiful baby, sitting there rocking, that comes from God. And you know how destruction happens? Negative talk breaks down people. It's so much easier to break this podium down than to build this podium up. Easy. Just kick it. If I kick you, it'd probably break off. Amen. But to take time to build up. And that's how it is with your soul. Somebody probably tore you down when you was a kid. But God says, keep coming. Keep listening. I'm building you up. Building you up. That person that lied to you when you was a kid. No. You ain't the only one. I love you. I care for you. The person that denied you when you was this teenager, that's not true. I'm replacing that with the truth. The truth should set you free. You're not a victim. You're not dumb. You're not behind. Yes. You're not the only one that's going through this. I've delivered so many other thousands before you, and I'm going to deliver you too. You need to listen to the truth. Stop listening to the lie. The lie will keep you in the darkness. Complaining by everybody and their mama. And it's a habit. It's an addiction. It's like when I used to have those wounds. I used to always play with my wounds because it feel good to keep picking at it. Instead of just letting the wound heal, we want to just keep gnawing. God said, let it go. Speak peace over that situation. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but in it is the power. I can receive and know that I ain't do nothing to get it. I ain't do nothing to get it, but just to say, yes, Lord, I got it. It's mine. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That is not by power nor by might, but it's by your spirit. That we got heaven's best. No more room for jealousy. No more room for hating. No more room for any malice in our heart. For if I see something, I can say, thank you, Jesus, that what they have, I have in you. This is what the world needs right now. There's a little bit more Jesus. A lot bit more Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good, Lord. You're so sweet. So sweet, Jesus. Love was on that song. You know what, right now? Some of us, the Holy Spirit telling me, yeah, sound good. I have problems trusting and yielding to God. I have problems falling back at times. Just allowing Him to be my hero. You know that song that says, I need a hero. Y'all know that song. You know what? He's the tough one. He's the one that's riding on the horse waiting to get your problems. He's begging you, y'all. He's knocking at the door and says, just give it to me. I want everybody just to stand up right now. I just want you to declare with your mouth, Lord Jesus, I give you anything that's been troubling my heart. Anything that's been troubling my mind, and I yield it to you. Right now in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm not going to conquer. I'm already a conqueror. Because of what you did, Jesus, at the cross. I am not a victim, but I'm a victor in you. Let me sing this. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every step that I take, every moment I'm away. Have your way. Have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you. I give you my soul. Everything that's in trouble, you. I give along every step that I take. Every moment I'm away. Have your way. Have your way. I see you giving your hospital bills. I see you giving me your medical bills right now, somebody. I see somebody's been having headaches. He says, guess what? Give that to me. Let me massage your brain with this gospel. Somebody having relationship troubles right now between their love. He said, give it to me. Yield it over to Jehovah. Give it over. You can't do this. You can't fight this by yourself. Let me guide. Say, I'm going to be your pilot and your co-pilot. You got to sit in the back as I ride this home. I'm going to land it for you. That boss has been aggravating, I'm going to land it for you. I'm going to replace it for you. Don't cut him. Don't cut her. I know you want to in your heart at times. It's like David could have cut him, but he yielded to me. You would not see my manifestation if you operate in the flesh. It's not about power thing. It's about a yielding thing. Who's the biggest loser? It's my game. Who's the weakest person that's going to surrender and say, this is not me, this is you, Jesus. And Grant came out of nothing saying, I yield to you. I'm not going to try to fight these. I yield to you, Jesus. I have a dream of people yielding to Christ in this church over and over again. You're going to feel set free. You're going to walk in this door and say, when do I ain't do nothing to yield to Jesus? And look what God did. It's going to feel so good. You're going to be able to rest at night knowing that you can just give everything to Jesus. If he worked in one situation, he can work in every single situation. Don't separate me and put me in a church box. I want all your boxes filled with Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. This church is full of love, man. If you haven't received Jesus, the only thing you have to just do is say, yes, Jesus, I believe you in my heart. And I know we're all members here. There's no new time visitors. But guess what? Even for believers, sometimes we have to reassure ourselves and our heart that guess what? You still remained up there on the throne.
Yeah.
I'm listening to you, nobody else. My barber can't tell me what to do. My cousin can't tell. But if they speak through you, they can tell me. So I'm only listening to you, King of Kings, lover of my soul. You have my attention. You have full power over this situation. Not the world. The world considered a bird more important than me. Their eggs are more important to us in the world, man. But you say, I'm significant. You say, I'm somebody in you because you died for me. Jesus, we love you because of that. We just give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Everything that you've done as we yield to you. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand, man. He is so good. He is so faithful, man.